So the question, Taylor, is, let's say the Kings had gotten the number one pick, right?
Yep.
They shocked the world. They beat the odds. They're the number one
They would have
selection.
Traded it for 2 second rounders.
Do you feel good about what they were about to do? No matter who they were going to pick, it's like, well, that guy's career's over.
They would find a way to fumble it, I have no doubt.
That's what they do, right? They make bad decisions. They make
that has nothing decisions. To do with ownership. Nothing at all. Absolutely.
They've
not.
Had a handful of different guys go through there, though. Right? They had the Maloofs for a period of
the
time.
Maloofs, at least they were competing.
Yeah, but then they weren't shortly thereafter. That
how long do I
up.
Keep my fandom? How long do I keep this up?
So it's organic, right? You can't decide I'm out. Mm-hmm. Your emotions will tell you when you're out.
There was
Can I give you a good example? I don't exactly come from the greatest city in sports, San Diego, California. I think if that's your team, that's your team. There's nothing you can do about it. You know, it's unfortunate, but I think that's kind of the deal. Now, unless you don't enjoy it anymore, that's different.
Well, or if the Kings move.
But no, that's what I was saying. There's going to come a point where the Kings are playing games that you haven't looked at a score in weeks or months. A whole season will go by. You're like, I don't even know if they're good anymore.
Yep.
And at that point,
you take a guess.
Well, you could be. You'd probably guess right. But the point being, it's like I just don't feel it anymore.
But them moving is irrelevant because it's not like he has any ties to Sacramento.
Like I'm from there. But right. If they change the name. I think I'd be, I don't know. They were talking about moving to Seattle a few years ago. And if they would have changed the name,
they almost
I think
did. Wasn't it Kevin Johnson that saved them or something
at that
like
point?
That?
But
yeah.
You would have jumped ship, like picked a dude. These things happen organically, though, mm-hmm. right? You really can't say, okay, I'm out on you and I'm in on you, right?
And he doesn't have a geo. He doesn't have like a, because he's from
right.
there, tie to it.
For instance, I am a Anaheim Ducks fan, mm-hmm. okay? I just couldn't wake up one morning and say, I'm
no
out on that. I'm going to root
fan.
For the Kings. Yep. It just doesn't work like that. I'm a Dodger fan because... Mm-hmm. Born here, the Dodgers were really good when I was a kid. That's where we started going to games when I was a kid, and it just kind of bites you in that way, and you're in it for forever. The Dodgers went through the 90s and early 2000s. They weren't very good. They weren't competing for World Series, and you just kind of roll along with it for a
I
period of time.
A hockey team.
But it's got it. Okay, you know what? Here's what we'll do.
Yeah. San Jose.
No, I lean towards Toronto. Maybe we'll
You got to pick one of the two local teams so you can go experience the environment.
I don't have to do anything.
If you go in there, you'll really like it. I really think you will. Have you? You've been before, right?
Yeah, I've been to a Kings game.
Okay. Why didn't it get you? Why didn't you decide? You know what? I like this. I want to go back again.
Just hockey. I just didn't grow up watching hockey.
Fair enough.
It's between the Canucks and the Senators right now.
Blue Jackets. Don't look. Don't look. Dollar if you can tell me where they're from.
Where are the Blue Jackets from?
Okay, that's a no. Emily, do you know where they're from?
I know it.
Columbus?
Columbus, yes. Yeah, correct. Did you know that?
Taylor whispered into my ear.
Hold
Taylor's
on.
Taylor's got my back.
Go Cavs. Panthers.
The Carolina Panthers.
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, yes, but we're talking.
Yeah.
Pitt.
Yeah. I've been there for that.
Yeah. You've been South there Florida. For that. ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Let's just try one more quick little bonus, Ask Slee. Ivan in Monrovia. Ivan, you're on hashtag Ask Slee. What do you got?
Hey, guys. Before I do my Ask Slee, Emily, when you go to Vegas, make sure you try the secret pizza spot in the Cosmo. It's a good late night snack.
Love it.
Al's making a face.
It's good. It's good. Little overrated.
I haven't tried
little
it.
Overrated.
I haven't tried it.
Little overrated. But okay. But it's open, and it's open really late, and it's in the Cosmo, so you can't go wrong.
Capitano Matt is saying that a swing through the pepper mill late at night, that's kind of a classic, old school, you know, big portions late at night, open 24, that whole thing. Not a bad way
Burger
to go.
Burger King on the Strip.
There probably is one somewhere.
All right. So the ask, Slee, if you hear a noise in the middle of the night,
okay,
do you confront that noise with a louder noise to hopefully scare whatever that is? Mm-hmm. Or do you wake up Lady Slee and say, hey, I think I heard something. Do you want to check that out?
Thank you, Ivan.
Am I out in the woods? Like, am I camping?
You're at home. You hear down, you know, on your door or downstairs or in the hallway. What's your go-to move?
Have I told you this story before?
I don't think so.
Somebody was... Did I ever mention the story? This was actually, now that I think about it, it's probably close to a year ago, maybe 8 months ago. Her condo is right next to the front lobby
Okay.
So it's the closest one to the front lobby. Now, there's a lot of units in the condo complex, but hers is closest to it. One time at like, I don't know, 4 in the morning, maybe 3 in the morning, something like that, you hear something at the door. And again, it's next to it. So you hear something at the door, and I'm like, what the hell is that?
The front door to her condo.
No, the front door to the lobby.
Okay.
But the bedroom is the closest to the lobby.
Understood.
Okay?
Got it.
So you kind of hear something. I'm like, what the hell is going on out there? And you just hear, like, the door. It's 4 o'clock. Somebody's doing something with the door. The way they used to have their mail, all the mail was in the front lobby. So you'd have packages there, whatever the case is. Somebody's obviously trying to break in. So I got up. But I was not going to go to the front lobby. What the hell do I know? I don't know what's going on.
Sure.
So I go towards the balcony. Balcony I could kind of see towards there. Bro, two people trying to get in, doing everything they can to get in. It was actually looked like a couple trying to get in, blah, blah, blah.
Like they're locked out or they're trying to break in?
They're trying to break in. Okay. They have like whatever equipment to try and get in, tools to get in. And we just made this. It was a very awkward eye contact. Like, I see you, you see me, and then they hurried off, and they took off. Now, if we're in a tent and we're camping outside, lay asleep, go take a look. No, they call the cops. They have footage.
See what that was? That sounded like...
It's 3 campsites away. I know where it is, but just go walk in that direction.
Just make sure everything's okay.
What would you have done? What would you have done that?
So this happened not that long ago.
Yeah, you have to get up.
You know how you have like the where you hang your dishes to dry, like in one of those racks? Yeah, yeah. Somebody had put a plate in awkwardly. So in the middle of the night, it fell out and it hit the counter and it broke. And
I'm going to go with, if I'm going to guess, your 16-year-old son.
That presumes he's ever done a dish in his life, which he never has. So the only two people that could have put it in incorrectly.
He's actually not guilty because of that.
Yeah. It was either me or Susan. We're the only two people that do the dishes. And probably me. I put it in and it fell out and it hit the floor and it broke. And it sounded like someone had broke a window. Mm. So it was, I don't know, 2-3 o'clock in the morning.
Babe.
I didn't run downstairs, but I did jump up and so our bedroom is directly on top of our kitchen.
Yeah, I would be.
Right. So I stomped my feet really heavily so they knew somebody was up. And then I threw on all the lights in the hallways. I didn't go charging down there, but I made a bunch of noise like, hey, I know you're in the house. You need to get out. I'm up. I'm moving around. Mm-hmm. All those sorts of things.
And Susan was in front of you the whole time?
She's much braver than I am. Much braver than I am. But we ended up going down there, and it was the stupid plate that had fallen out of the thing. Mm-hmm. And the relief at seeing a broken plate as opposed to a broken window and like shoe prints, a little bit different.
Are you kidding me?
Because I would have just...
I had a cousin one time years ago. Their house got broken into, and they came home, and the dude was in the house.
Ooh, no. That's your worst nightmare.
Yeah, it is.
That would be very, very bad. All right. See if you've been paying attention. Right? Another... Gabe Vincent of the Miami Heat went to school where?
Delaware.
Right. The Blue Hens. Mm-hmm. The Fighting Blue
Hens.
He
actually was University of Phoenix. It was an online course he took.
My Gaucho guy, Gabe Vincent, had another big night for the Heat last night. That third quarter, they won the game in the third quarter. What was it? 31-9?
They were down 8 at halftime, and then they were up like 19.
They took over the
17
game.
17 or something like that.
They took over the game and were terrific in the third quarter. And those and I'll put my Gaucho thing aside here for a second, but it's guys like that. You're going to need you're going to have your Bams, you're going to have your Jimmy Butlers, you're going to have Tyler Harrows and those guys that are kind of your guys.
Yeah.
You're going to need somebody else. Mm-hmm. You're going to need somebody that isn't a highly picked player that comes out of the G League like Vincent did. You're going to need somebody that just is a good basketball player. That when Pat Riley finds him or Eric Spoelstra finds him or whoever it is.
Game 7, Grant Williams.
You need a guy that's just like, thank goodness he was here today. You're going to need some of those dudes.
Okay, from a basketball perspective, actually, I really like the series. I think I mentioned that to you coming into it. But I didn't know Marcus Smart or Al Horford weren't going to play, so I had no idea that was going on.
Horford
game one.
Vid protocol, right?
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think so.
I didn't even see it.
Health and safety is what they're saying.
And Marcus Smart has, like, I think a foot thing.
Foot injury.
And then Kyle Lowry not going for the Miami Heat, so we want to see these squads obviously fully healthy. No, listen, it's kind of one of those Miami finished their series off early. Boston's kind of, all right, on to the next one, on to the next one. I find both of these... Is anything really jumping out to you? Like, are you and I? I'm the biggest NBA fan that you know. I caught the second half of the game. You know, I was out doing whatever I'm doing. I don't think the Eastern Conference is going to jump at me. I think tonight's game with the Warriors and the Mavs, that one to me sounds a lot more interesting. You're right about the role players need to jump up 100%.
Yeah, the star power in this one is lacking too. You got Jason Tatum, who's a star, right?
They pushed them around yesterday. They did. In that second half.
Well, it was weird because when they played in their opening round series against Kevin Durant, Jason Tatum didn't get pushed around at all.
But think of the two teams you just said.
Sure.
Miami's culture is
totally different.
So but much different.
I'm just look, if you're going up against KD, KD is the dude, mm-hmm. right? I mean, he is Kevin Durant. And if you got to go shot for shot, possession for possession with Kevin Durant, that's pretty damn intimidating. He didn't. Or I should say he did. But with Jimmy Butler, who's kind of a different sort of guy, Jimmy Butler isn't half the player that Kevin Durant is, but he's a totally different type of guy, right? He's a far more physical guy. The energy level is totally different. The style in which the Heat play relative to the Nets, it seemed like Tatum was like, whoa, like this is, okay, this is a different
thing.
Welcome
to the Eastern Conference Finals against the Miami Heat.
And against Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler is not one of the 10 best players in basketball. He might not be one of the 15 best players.
Yep.
But you better buckle up with that
guy.
Can I throw this
your way too? It's not just against Jimmy Butler. It's like, okay, what's the culture of the Miami Heat?
Tough.
How are we going to beat the Boston Celtics? And Boston's a tough team too, but I have a finesse player. Do I think Tatum's going to, eventually adjust? Of course he will. He had 7 turnovers. Tatum did. This is not your point guard. He had 7 turnovers. They kind of found a way. You look at teams. We've seen these, or at least we've talked about this with the Lakers a number of different times. Do you have guys that you feel like are going to make you uncomfortable? There was no one on that Lakers roster this last season that made you feel uncomfortable. You know what? I'm going to push this guy around. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I always think that's interesting when you got kind of a makeup of that, which the Heat do.
Okay, so with that in mind, that you need that adjutant, you need that thing, I want you to listen to Patrick Beverley really quickly.
No, nobody goes. Exact same thing. Western Conference Finals. Because they have no one who's in no discredit to LeBron James. But he's doing so much. Who's the leader? They had success because there was a leader there. Rondo was there. At the time, he was the leader. Who's the leader? Who's telling LeBron, hey, LeBron, you got to be low man, bro. That ain't your help out. You got to X out. No one's telling them that. Not on a consistent basis.
Right. And Patrick Beverley's going to tell them that?
I'm going to tell everyone that.
Okay.
Because I want to win.
Okay, so he's saying that if he were on the team, the Lakers get to the Western Conference Finals because of all the explanations that he just gave. I want to come back. I want to get your thoughts on that. We can take some calls on that. 877-710-ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Listening to that, I just realized it's been a few days since I've had a taco. I may need to fix that later tonight. It's Wednesday, Taco Wednesday, the traditional time that you hit your tacos.
You'll be in a good area. Echo Park.
There's no bad areas.
Pocket.
It's L.A., right? It's Southern California. There are nothing but good options when it comes to tacos. Down in my neck of the woods, up here, all good. After a Dodger game, I might, maybe just a couple. Maybe just a little road taco before you hop back in the car and start heading home. Not a bad way to do it.
I think you'll be okay. Use Yelp. Try Yelp one of these days.
Nah, not going to happen. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle your auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit progressive.com. All right, I want to play it one more time.
Yelp piece was like, never.
There's too many. If I was finally looking for something super specific, right? Yeah. Like if I were, I don't know, Middle Eastern food, like you talk about a lot. That's not something that I typically go find. I would ask you. I wouldn't go to Yelp. I would say, Al,
what if you're in an area you're unfamiliar with?
Mm-hmm.
You throw on Yelp. It's going to say, hey, within a couple of miles, this is everything that you got.
Yeah.
We'll rank them out for you.
I don't know the people doing the rankings. That's the problem. I need a personal recommendation. I need it to come from Alan Sliwa. I need it to come from Emily or Taylor. I need somebody to say, that's the thing.
It's helpful. But
no, I trust the people I trust, and the people I don't know, you got to earn it.
People that you don't trust, screw them all.
That's right. That's exactly right. All right, so Patrick Beverley talking to Stephen A. that if he were on the Lakers this most recent season, that they would have made the Western Conference Finals. Here he is again. This is Patrick Beverley.
No, nobody goes. Exact same team. Western Conference Finals. Because they have no one that's who's in no discredit to LeBron James. But he's doing so much. Who's the leader? They had success because there was a leader there. Rondo was there. At the time, he was the leader. Who's the leader? Who's telling LeBron, hey, LeBron, you got to be low man, bro. That ain't your help out. You got to X out. No one's telling them that. Mm. Not on a consistent basis.
Right. And Patrick Beverly's going to tell them that?
I'm going to tell everyone that.
Okay.
Because I want to win.
So here's the thing. Do the Lakers, do they need a player like Patrick Beverly? Of course they do. I don't argue that at all. Do they need somebody going up to LeBron and saying, Bron, what are you doing? No, that's not what we should be doing. Do they need somebody challenging arguably the greatest player to ever play the game? Sure. I'm not opposed to that at all. Did they not have that last season? I don't think they did. Do I think they get to the Western Conference Finals if Patrick Beverly's there? That's you know, an absurd.
No.
It's an absurd conversation.
Right.
But that doesn't mean he's wrong at saying some of the other stuff that he said. I don't disagree with the, hey, if I'm on that team, I can help the team. I don't find fault in that. They need a player like that.
They need somebody that's got an edge. I don't disagree with that at all.
And somebody that has no problem looking at LeBron James between the eyes and saying, hey, Bron, no, not this one.
I agree with you on that as well. They need those things. They need edge. They need somebody that's a little more confrontational. They need somebody that's going to speak truth to power. I agree with all of that. But for instance,
yep.
If these comments were coming out of the mouth of Draymond Green, you have my full attention.
Mm-hmm.
Right, he's Draymond Green. Draymond Green's going to go to the Hall of Fame.
What portion?
The idea of, look, this is what's missing, and they need somebody that I could make a difference here. Patrick Beverley's bounced around this league a lot because he's just an okay player. He's a tough guy.
Yep.
I believe that he believes what he's saying, but, dude, none of your teams have been any good. If you're the difference between doing this or not and you getting LeBron James to the Western Conference Finals or not, come on, man.
He can make a difference. He's just not going to take
them to
that.
He can make a difference to a point, but he's not a good enough player to make a difference, right? The big win in this Patrick Beverly thing is he got him out of the play-in game. Okay, cool, man. But this idea that I'll take LeBron James, look, stop. They need some of the things that he brings.
Yeah.
But he's throwing so much heat for a guy that has bounced around this league a ton. It's just the source. Let me try this again.
Mm-hmm.
The message I'm okay with, that's the source of the message and the me's and I's. If it were, hey, look, they need somebody to do the things that I do, but what they need is to do the things you do and a much better player. They need a guy like Draymond. They need somebody like this is an extreme example, but somebody like Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler not scared of anybody. Right? I don't care who you are. I'm going to tell you what I think. I think this is what you should do. Draymond Green's one of those guys. Patrick Beverley's a guy in this league that goes from team to team to team, and his teams really aren't very good in the first place.
You had three stars. You don't need any more stars. Now, it doesn't mean you had the right stars. I think what Pat Bev is trying to say is, look, this is what they were missing. You're right. Listen, can every team? Draymond Green is a freaking unbelievable player. He's going to go down for his position and the role that one of the greatest to do what he does. Every team can use a Draymond Green. Pat Beverly is a more realistic player that you can get on your team and say, okay, hey, this guy is able to help.
If he were this much of a difference, why is he on a new team every 2 years? If he was this valuable.
You don't think he has value in the NBA?
I think he does.
He has value in the NBA.
Al, then why does he move around so much?
He was on the Clippers. He was on the Timberwolves.
He's been in Houston, too.
He was in Houston before that.
Yeah, I'm just saying,
over the course of the last
around a lot.
4 years or so, he's kind of really been on two teams.
He's a marginal NBA player.
If I'm correct.
At best.
If I'm correct.
And he talks way more than he does.
What is bothering you about him is the way that he runs his mouth.
No.
But the way that he runs his mouth is kind of his character in the league.
No, that's not it at all. My point is he thinks he's the difference. He's not. What he's talking about is important. It's just not him. If he were the difference, if I'm this big bad guy that gets then why did Kawhi and Paul George didn't win anything? Why did you guys blow this? If this was the difference, why are D'Angelo Russell and Karl Anthony Towns and these teams?
Minnesota Timberwolves hadn't won anything.
But I get it, and they still haven't.
They
That's
still
the
haven't,
whole point.
But for a franchise like that, it was actually a good year for
them. He's a guy in the league at best who's really good at getting our attention.
I'm confused.
That's what he's good at.
I'm confused why you're upset at him.
I'm not upset at him. I just think that it's silly. I just think that the idea that with me on the team, we go the way. Did Patrick Beverley never watch the Lakers play?
Well,
did he never see any of this?
That portion's absurd. absurd of I and would be the difference in getting them to the Western Conference Finals.
It's silly.
But if you're asking me, do I want Patrick Beverley on my team? I'd take a Pat Bev on my team. No question about
Let's go to Los Angeles and Art. Art, you're on with Travis Slee. What's up, Art?
Hey.
Hey.
You hear me?
Yes.
Whenever you're ready, Art, just let us know.
Can you hear me?
No, yeah. We can't. Let's try another one here. Let's go to Brandon in
Art.
Inglewood.
Come on,
Brandon.
Man.
You are on with Travis Slee. What's up, Brandon?
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
Thank you.
Travis, look, I've been wanting to weigh in on Pat Beverley all week. I think you disrespecting him a little bit because what he brings from a culture standpoint, accountability standpoint, that's really big in the NBA. Thinking the type of thinking that you're thinking is like how these GMs look at the veterans nowadays, right? They're not really bringing much, but they actually are because they're showing people how to be a professional, how to play basketball, how to be consistent, right? So I think that's the first thing. But overall, like, I agree with your point. Like, you know, Pat Beverley has made a career in the NBA because he's not afraid to cross that line. Mm-hmm. You know, Jeff Van Gundy talked about that last night, having guys on your team who's not afraid to cross that line. And unfortunately, he does that with a lot of his talking, too, and a lot of stuff that he said over the past couple of days. He goes right up to that line and he says, you know what, I'm going to cross the line. You know, and the way he disrespected Chris Paul and some of the things he said, yeah, okay, some of the stuff he said was true, but you went past that line, you know. So I think this statement is just another one of his type of things where he just, you know, he says something good. Yeah, okay, yeah, the Lakers would be better, but you went a step farther and you said, now we're going to go to the Western Conference Finals just because you're there. So, like, no, but yeah, you know, like, that's just who he is, and, like, that's what makes him who he is, you know. And I just think we just need to appreciate Pat Bear for who he is because of the resiliency and the type of player he is. And I think, you know,
all right, we lost him right there. I want to go back to the season for a quick second. Three different times, and then before the exit meeting, Dwight Howard, Russ, and Russell Westbrook. Bro, I'm not kidding. Sometimes it gets in the way. Russ, and then also Malik Monk. Three different times it was, well, we lost because we're just not playing hard enough.
Mm-hmm.
There were definitely times during the year I'm like, I don't think these guys care. I really don't think these guys care.
I think that's
or
true.
The effort's not there or something like that. He's one of those guys that I think could certainly help any team from that perspective. The one thing that Patrick Beverley has done these last couple of days, he's been running his mouth. He's right. You know what ESPN's been doing every time? Hey, why don't you come in for the next day?
See,
why don't you come in for the next day?
These are two total. He's really good at getting people's attention.
Yeah.
He's an A-plus at that.
We did it. We talked about him on Monday. We're talking about it again on Wednesday.
He is an A-plus at getting people's attention. His analysis of what the Lakers were lacking, I think it's true.
Yep.
They were missing effort or heart or whatever, however you want to quantify it.
We both agree
it.
The Western Conference thing is ludicrous.
And
I'm not making that argument either.
I know you're not. That this idea of that I'm the skeleton key to unlock all of these things, then why have you never unlocked anything else? Clippers mm-hmm. didn't go. They underachieved. Minnesota got out of the play-in round. Dude, you're not the answer to every NBA problem because you say wild things. I think he's a fine player, but this idea, well, if I were there, it would be different. You've been places. It hasn't been different.
Mm-hmm.
What are you talking about? If you were if all of a sudden Paul George and Kawhi Leonard with Pat Bev, it's like, oh, okay.
Let me ask you a question.
Maybe he's on something. If Minnesota had beaten Memphis and it's like, hey, look, this guy does bring us, but it's not true. He's an adjutant. He's funny. He's outrageous. He's a pretty good player, but this that I'm the difference between what you are and what you could be, it's just simply not true.
Pat Bev is hypothetical. Pat Bev is a free agent in the offseason, and he wants to come sign with the
sure.
Lakers. You sign
great.
Him or no?
Yeah, and that's for the right price. Yeah, for sure.
And that's the – you don't have to be
– but you got to go get a whole bunch of other things. This is not the thing that
which is fine.
Fixes
and,
all the
and
problems.
I'm talking about just the Lakers, who they have, this specific roster, the superstars that they have. They don't need any more stars. They don't need more – they need guys like Patrick Beverley. So – I'm with you that is, are you going to go build a franchise around Patrick Beverley? Of course you're not. But you can
but
have a role player. You can have a role player like that
where
he can be a good difference.
He can be a difference.
You'd sign him, right? You'd sign him.
Yeah.
And that's all.
Yeah.
You would take a guy like that on your
but
team.
But I don't all of a sudden, hey, we're let's go. It's like, okay, now what? Now who else you got? It's a brick in the wall. It's not the difference between you being a good team and a bad team. He's been on good teams that underachieved.
But if you said, if I threw that question to you and you were like, Al, no, I wouldn't sign him.
No.
He doesn't have a skill set. He
no.
doesn't hit jumpers. He doesn't do that.
He's got game.
He has
sure.
some things that he brings to the table
yeah.
that helps.
But that's not what he's selling. Like, I what you're selling, yeah. I'm buying. What he's selling, I'm not buying it for a second. Right. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle your auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit progressive.com. Factor Cap coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Al, you've kind of got it figured out. You've got that round trip from wherever it is you're going to wherever you're coming back from down pat. You're walking in as the music is playing. Yeah. I'm impressed. Well done.
I actually wait sometimes by the door.
Like I'm just lurk. You've had enough of me. They're only paying me for the 10 minutes of segment. He doesn't get my time during the breaks.
In my head, I'm like, you know what? We're gonna milk this commercial break.
Also, something. I love all your suggestions for Las Vegas, all that great stuff. I'm compiling them, going to send them to my sister. It's going to be great. Also, it's something I just noticed. Mason's drink from yesterday is still here.
Yeah, that was disgusting. I noticed that this morning.
It's right to your immediate left on the other side
of the glass, Lee.
Bad roommate. Yes. Thanks. Speaking of which, it's National
Dirty... Put some ice in there. I might drink it.
It's National No Dirty Dishes Day. So, you have a strategy to get someone else to do their dishes. Travis, Patrick Cott.
Believe me, I am all ears on this because Susan and I do all the dishes every day. And she does them probably a little bit more often than I do. It's probably like a 60-40 split. She does it more frequently. I cook probably 60% of the time. Whoever cooks, the other person doesn't have to clean it up, right? That's kind of the rule of thumb. I've been trying to get my kids to do the dishes forever and ever, and I don't have a solution. So, no, those are my roommates, right, that I am trying to get to clean up after themselves, and I am a colossal failure as a parent for a variety of reasons, but in particular for my inability to get them to clean up after themselves.
This one kind of plays to my advantage. My girl likes doing the dishes. People say it's therapeutic, all that other stuff. When I'm stuck with it, let's say she's out for a couple of days, I'm pretty responsible at getting it done. Maybe I let them pile up a little bit, but I'm not sitting there. I'm not going to bed and there's just a pile or any of that stuff. That's not happening. I'll give myself credit in this. Even if she likes doing the dishes, I'm a rinser. So I'll make sure that the plate is
doesn't have lasagna
on it from, 7 hours ago, and now you're going to spend 15 minutes
trying
to get
to chip it off after it's
on. But is that not a good thing to do?
If you
just rinse it, now all you're doing a little bit of soap and it's done.
So are you rinsing it and leaving it in the sink?
Yeah.
Why not just clean it?
It's true. I could do that.
Yeah, Taylor?
Good question.
You're right about that.
I just do my own, so if you never do it for them, they never expect you to do it for them.
So it just sits there.
But you're okay with just a big pile of dirty stuff in the sink?
I can't do that.
I
can't.
I mean, if it's been there that long, I'll approach one of my roommates, just give them your dishes.
Yeah. A couple flies soaring in. Hey, what's going on over here?
Yeah.
Can't do that.
I could do it up until about 25 or 6. I'm like, no, this is disgusting. We got to clean this place up.
I'm also like, I'm going to do my dishes, and it's on their fault. If I break something of yours because it's in the dishwasher and I'm trying to do it, it's your fault at that point in time.
What do you mean?
So sometimes I haven't done this before, but I also always in my mind because my roommates don't clean
it.
So I will clean my stuff, and I'll clean it on top of theirs. One, it'll get their stuff more dirty because they should have cleaned their dishes.
Is there ever a, hey, I'm just going to be a nice person here and I'll get a few of these dishes under?
When I'm in the beginning of my relationship with them, yeah, I did do the dishes for them, but also they're not my boyfriend, so I'm not going to clean the dishes because I like them.
What if they do it for you one time?
They never have done them for me. And I also, they would never because I do my dishes. So I get their dishes more dirty. And if it just so happens that something, you know, cracks for them because they've left their dishes in there for 2 days, it's their fault. Anyway, that's my take on dishes for other people.
Okay.
So next, the movie Battleship, which I'm sure we all raced to see in the theater, came out on this day in 2012, which is based off, it's an imagining of the board game Battleship. So this was the stupidest idea for a movie ever. Alan, fact or cap?
Cap. I know there's definitely stupider ideas, but can we just go to this? Anybody play? Used to play Battleship back in the day?
Yeah, of course.
Battleship was fun. Yeah. Battleship was fun. I got my nieces to play it when they were growing up, and in my head, I'm like, what the hell? I should have played this more when I was a kid. I never saw the movie. I'm sure the theme of it and the idea is awful.
Rihanna's in it.
But we've seen plenty of bad movies.
Rihanna's in Battleship.
It can't be that bad.
It's actually one of my favorite previews of a movie I've ever seen.
I don't know if she can act or not, but who cares?
Sign me up.
Yeah, I'm
Rihanna
here for
got
that.
Sold on Battleship yep. movie?
I bet it came with a check. I bet she's not doing it for fun. You're right.
Yep. You gotta, volunteer work.
It's a nonprofit.
There's a lot of things that you'd be willing to do if the commas are in the right places.
But I would think for Rihanna, she's got other movie opportunities.
Everybody's got a price, Al. Everybody.
Yeah.
That's the way that
Trav,
it is.
What about you?
No, I mean, that sounds pretty terrible. That sounds like a... Like, I think there was a Clue movie at some point, I believe.
And that actually is very campy and kind of okay.
Yeah, but it's the murder mystery, right?
Right,
like, okay,
right.
Sure, that makes sense. In Monopoly, it could be about a real estate baron who takes over, you know, Succession. There you go. I mean, Battleship. I mean, unless it's a war movie about naval operations, maybe that works
it really
out.
Is,
but
essentially what it
is. If it's just some guy saying B7 and the other guy saying miss, then no, you can, Taylor, miss me with that. See?
Silence.
In my cruiser.
See how I did that?
I saw Succession yesterday. Watched the first episode.
Is there a new season?
No, he just started
first season
it.
Of the new episode. You're the one that told me to watch it.
I know. I'm just saying. You're watching
I love
it.
Wait. Wait, I'm confused. You watched episode one, season one?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Got one under the
it's great.
Books. And it kind of drew me in, and that's all you're looking for. Let's get to number two.
I think you'll like it. See how you do that?
Okay. Never suggesting anything to you guys ever again.
It's good.
Taylor, what about you?
You asked if this is the worst idea for a movie ever?
Yeah.
Okay, so cap for that. There's a lot of B-horror movies out there, like Zombiever. Have you ever heard of that?
Beaver like Zombie?
Beaver Zombies, yeah.
I'm kind of into that.
Yeah.
Is it any good?
It's worse than Battleship,
really
I think.
Sounds really good.
Sharknado? There's a tornado of sharks?
But so Sharknado was intentionally ridiculous.
Bad. Right.
Yeah. So I'm kind of into intentionally ridiculous. Battleship doesn't feel like it's that. Who knows?
All right. So part of my way to bribe my kids to try harder in their games or in their practices is I bribe them with a little bit of candy. So I have Jolly Ranchers. Well, this is suggested by them. They wanted Jolly Ranchers. So Jolly Ranchers are the worst candy. Taylor, Factor Cap.
Cap. Jolly Ranchers are amazing.
They suck.
They last a long time, you know, like an everlasting gobstopper. You can suck on them for a long time, and they're just a great candy all around.
Yeah.
Cap.
Yeah. Cap. I'm with him. I like them. They're lifesavers in rectangle form. They're the same thing. It's just, it's a hard candy. Some of them are sour. Some of them are sweet. Yeah, I'm okay with a Jolly Rancher.
Between like Smarties and candy corn and some of those others, yeah, I'm taking a Jolly Rancher.
Oh, for sure.
One problem with the Jolly Rancher, there reaches a point where you're like, I just want to chew this thing. And then you have a very strong likelihood of cracking your jaw.
Or if they get old, they're hard to unwrap.
The other thing, too, when you slowly just kind of suck on them over a period of time, they can get like a really sharp edge. And you can dice up your mouth with a piece of candy should not make me bleed.
It literally is a weapon. It can be used as a weapon at that point.
Have you experienced that?
No,
it gets
about.
Like sharp on one side.
All right, Tootsie Roll or Jolly Rancher?
Okay,
Tootsie
Roll
every
day.
I prefer chocolate.
I take Jolly Rancher.
Yeah. I'd say, can I have one of each? That would be my choice.
Tootsie Roll's way better than Jolly Rancher.
Tootsie Roll's good.
But it's whatever. But they do their stuff if I ask them, if I give them the Jolly Ranchers. That's all that matters.
Will they come to my house and do my dishes if I give them Jolly Ranchers? It's a trade I would make.
Is it based off of coming up with a W, or you just got to show up to work and get Jolly Ranchers?
So for water polo, since I'm sure you guys don't know, there's a swim-off. At the start of every quarter.
Right.
So for a while, they weren't trying in the swim off. They would just like go to defense. So I was like, okay, if you win the swim off, I'll give you a Jolly Rancher. And then also, I'll give you a Jolly Rancher for every shot you take, kind of thing, too. So that's kind
just
of
shooting?
Yes.
You don't have
because
to score?
They don't shoot enough.
Okay. You know what's going to end up happening? She's going to be like under the table. Here's 20. Here's right? $8. You got a goal.
So
if it gets goals,
it's what you got to do.
Right.
That's what the parents hired her for.
The movie Shrek came out on this day in 2001. Shrek has a stranglehold on my generation's sense of humor. So there is a comedy that you watch that gets better with age. Essentially, a comedy that you liked when you were a kid but didn't get everything that got better with age. Travis, Dr. Cat.
Yeah, I think that's fact. Like, Shrek, I liked the original Shrek. It was very funny. It was unique, and I liked all the puns and the nursery rhymes and all the children's. I liked it a lot. For me, that
Lethal
movie,
Weapon.
Godfather, it's A Christmas Story. When it first came out, I was about 12 years old when that movie came out, which is the age that Ralphie roughly is in A Christmas Story. So I got it exclusively through the eyes of Ralphie. He wanted the toy. He didn't think he was going to get the toy and all the things that he goes through to try to get the toy. So I related to it like that. The little bit older you realize that the parents are the funniest people in the movie. You realize that the old man just wants to sit and have a drink and be left alone, and he likes his sexy lamp and the wife hates it. It's such a great study on how difficult Christmas is as a parent relative to a child. It's all good. It's nothing but good. As a parent, it's a nice day or two, but there's so much work going into it. There's so much drama and conflict. It's really funny when you're watching it happen. So, a Christmas Story for me.
I'm trying to think here. Toy Story came out when?
It's like 94 or 5,
yeah,
something like that.
Late 90s.
I mean, that. Not that I have sit here and have watched it recently. I mean,
by the way, Emily, we need to add Christmas Story to the list. He brings this one up pretty regularly too.
Toy Story,
Christmas
you mean?
Story.
Oh, Toy Story.
He loves Toy Story.
Yeah, I don't know if I have one that jumps out. I mean, you got a lot of watching Anchorman today. I laugh at it more than I did the first time.
Right.
Watching like there's other movies that are out there, but they're not more. I guess you could say when I was watching it when I was.
A kiddo.
12 or 10 or something along those lines.
Taylor?
It's tough with comedies because some of them don't age well. So I think Dazed and Confused,
great movie.
Zoolander for me, and maybe Napoleon Dynamite.
Okay,
those three.
That one, I mean, there were some funny lines and some
like
funny scenes.
It was just stupid funny. I don't know. I can put it on any time.
It was awkward funny. I liked it too.
Yeah.
I didn't get it. You know, like there were some funny. I just didn't get it.
It's just kind of that rural, you know.
Maybe that's it. Maybe having never lived that life, I just
out in the middle of nowhere.
Other guys, do you ever watch the other guys?
That Will Ferrell and Marky Mark.
Yeah. Love the other guys.
Yeah,
freaking hilarious.
Yeah.
Very underrated in Will Ferrell movies.
In that scene, 10 minutes into the movie, when Sam Jackson and who's at The Rock,
they jump
into the bushes. I laughed in the theater for 10 minutes. I think.
All right, I have one more quick one, guys. So. Based on your viewing of Succession, the best part about being a rich person would be having a private jet. Alan, Thatcher Cap.
So the first episode, they're in the helicopters, right? It's like they want to go play the game, and I have no idea what they're talking about, and they're taking three helicopters wherever they're going. And then he has his brain hemorrhage, and the helicopter just veers off right, and it just goes to the hospital. That's pretty baller. I think that to me wouldn't be what stands out to me. The jet, I don't think is what stands out to me. It's the baller homes. Like for me, it's this, you have a house that's just so freaking big, ridiculous on how many acres of land. I think that to me is the most important thing.
So, Warren Buffett, pretty rich guy, has called his private aircraft the great unjustifiable. That there is no reason to have it because it's environmentally unconscious, it's expensive, it's all these things.
Can't live without it.
That's how important it is to making your life easier. It's the great unjustifiable.
His company started these
NetJets or something
exactly
like that.
Exactly what it is. Yeah.
This is not a flex or a humble brag or anything. I have flown on a private airplane a handful of times. There's nothing like it.
Private like Southwest?
Just like Southwest. Mm-hmm. You pull your car up to the runway.
You get out.
Somebody takes your bag, puts it in the plane. You walk up. The stairs come up right behind you. You leave your car there. They take it and they put it somewhere. You fly where you want. You land. There's a car waiting for you. You walk down the steps. You get in and you're gone. It is the greatest thing in the world. I can't read it.
Is this
fact times a million.
Is this when you were negotiating your last contract here?
Mm-hmm. I said
to Bristol,
if we're going to do the Rams pregame, I'm going to need private aircrafts everywhere I go. It is. I've only done it three or four times.
It's that description sounds
there
baller.
Is nothing
Vegas
like
when
it.
You see all that going on that small
nothing
little
like
private
nothing
flight.
Like it. It is the best thing ever. You should try it sometime. Speaking of your money, I want to spend a little of your money.
Sure.
You're a 90s TV guy, and there's something that you're going to want to buy. That's next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. How do we juice it? How do we make sure that this happens as opposed to hoping it happens? Know what I look like.
Can I tell you how?
Yeah.
You'd have to give your exact seat. How else are you going
to
do it?
They're not my seats to do that with, so I don't know if I can do that.
Even
I don't
better.
You know what I'll do? If you are heading to the Dodger game today, I'm gonna put a picture of myself on my Twitter feed. For the 10 people that follow me on Twitter.
Dad selfie?
You can, yeah. Well, what do you think? Should I dad selfie
I need to take a full version of you so that
get the shorts.
I'm not saying no.
We need the shorts.
But I am saying I have editorial control of this. I get all to right. decide whether it goes up or not. Would that help?
But what is that going to do? You're saying
that if some, for instance, the odds of somebody heading to Dodger Stadium right now,
yeah,
right, that's listening to us right now, pretty good,
sure,
right? That somebody's hearing what we're saying right now, not out of the mm-hmm. realm of possibility at all. And if they say, okay, that's what he looks like, then they see me, ask Slee.
This will help too. Don't have a shirt on. It's a day game. The sun's out.
There's not enough beer in Dodger Stadium for that to go down.
Listen,
none
of
sun today.
It's not even. This isn't a beer thing. You're 6'4", 185.
Uh-huh.
You're
the third time you've tried that.
Best shape you've ever been in your life. You'll be wearing Gucci shorts,
mm-hmm.
and your shirt will be off.
I don't know what kind of shorts these are. Maybe O'Neal?
Probably Kirkland.
I think that, probably.
Yeah.
I don't know. What's that look? What's that? Maybe it's got like a wave on it.
I'm getting
I don't know
closer.
What that means.
I'm getting Slick closer.
No, I know that logo. It's not that.
Billabong?
I don't know. Can you see? Hold on. What's that?
I think that is O'Neal.
Is it O'Neal?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, O'Neal. There you go. Yeah, I'm just a fashion plate.
Big time.
Got to pull. I still have my half zip. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go.
Half zip. It's a quarter zip.
You're right. It is a quarter zip.
I think I got a little closer to where you are last week when I went to Costco. And I go buy whatever I'm buying.
Mm-hmm.
Might have kind of went by, not on purpose, on accident, kind of went through the clothing area.
Okay. Usually in the middle of the store.
I was like, wait a minute. Is that a 12-pack of Adidas short socks right there? I can get a 12-pack from here and be done? I don't know, it's 12.
A couple years.
It's like 6-pack or something like that, right? I'm like, that's it? I don't have to...
White, black, combination of both? What are we talking about?
Just
is
white,
nice
you know,
suit?
Go hiking, stuff like that. Yeah. So then it was like rotisserie chicken. Oh, I didn't even tell you this story. Bro, the same day that you sent me your, like, how to pick the right watermelon.
Oh, right, yeah.
Oh, so pathetic. You should have just seen me there. I didn't take my phone into Costco, so I didn't have... It's the same day that you had it.
You left it in the car?
Yeah, I just didn't take
it. On accident or on purpose?
No, I was with my girl. What am I going to... Like, why do I have to take my phone?
Because you don't want to leave it in the car. One, could get stolen.
Okay,
two,
guys,
you need your phone if you need to look something up.
What do you need to look up? What am I going to look up
also,
at Costco that can't wait
you?
15
but
minutes?
But it's not like it's a cinder block. Just slide it in your back pocket. It's not like...
So if I'm there by myself,
yeah.
I'm probably going to have my phone, maybe my AirPods in. I'm going to be listening to something. If I'm with her, I don't really need to look
at
my phone.
You have to be on a phone call the entire time.
But what if your mom calls
in
you?
Back
what if it's an
what if Woj tweeted?
You miss
I'll
a
get
Woj
back to all of them in 20 minutes. All right? I'm getting in, I'm getting out.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on this.
I'm so with you guys. So ridiculous. Didn't take your phone. So I'm in there, and I don't have the text. I can't actually
weird.
See.
Like you're making it sound like you have to carry around like a 10-pound thing. It's just your phone.
I went on
pocket.
A hike yesterday. Didn't take my phone.
Well,
am I supposed to take my phone?
Now you're going
to
be that guy that breaks his leg in the middle of nowhere. No
right?
one can find you because you forgot to take your phone.
No, Rookie would just run home and then people would find out.
No, he'd get hungry eventually. He'd eat you. That's what they do.
It's a lot scarier.
So what's your Costco story? Sorry, we derailed it.
See how that feels?
I don't have anything.
No, you can't do that.
No,
you can't do that. Go ahead. What happened in Costco?
No, that's it.
Your phoneless trip to Costco.
I picked the worst watermelon you could pick. I didn't have the guide.
Number one thing.
So I grabbed it. I did the whole. I was even telling my girl. I'm like, Travis sent me this today. He sent me a text today. Did the whole watermelon. I I did everything that made it look like I knew what I was doing. I had no idea what I was doing. I get home, I cut it. I'm like, yeah, this is when Cates makes his argument about
pineapple
because watermelon's not always good. That was the...
So here's the number one thing. Ready? All of you watermelon pickers out there, when you go to your store and you're trying to figure it out, the spot, right? All the watermelon always has a spot where it sat on the ground. You don't want white. You want yellowish orange. If it's yellowish orange, that means it's sweeter. That white spot means it's not quite ripe yet.
And this is why you bring your phone into Costco so you can ask.
You got
Travis.
The yellow one?
I did that part of
orange?
Because I know the one you want. If it's all green, it's not ready. If it's got the yellow spots on it, there's a better chance that it was in the sun. I told you, some grocery store.
Heavy for its size. You want it to be a little heavier than you expect.
Okay, but when you hit it, what are you trying to figure out?
I don't know. That wasn't on the chart.
That, I don't know.
The thumping it was not on the chart.
I think if it's hollow, that's not good.
It's not a basketball. It's not filled with air.
You see what I'm saying? That it's not good. If you hit it and it's more firm, then it's probably a better one inside. We have no idea what we're talking about.
I do. I have the chart.
But the hitting, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I never did that. I remember you on a cantaloupe, you're supposed to push the little, like where the stem was.
Yeah.
If you push that and it's soft, that means it's ripe.
I used to make fun of you at grabbing clothes on your way at Costco.
Did you buy the socks?
Yeah, I grabbed socks.
You're gonna you know what's next. Here's how you know.
Chicken, vegetables, this, that, a salad, blah, 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 and then... Adidas socks.
This is how you know you've gone to the other side. Yeah. Socks are fine. You're still cool.
I think that's why I was like,
you're okay. Socks is fine. Underwear is fine. These are things that are okay. But once you buy a pair of pants at Costco, you're done. Your life.
What's worse, pants or shoes? Do they sell shoes?
I've never even done the shoes.
Do they sell shoes there? I don't know.
Oh, for sure they do. They 100% do. I've seen them.
I could see you put on Kirkland shoes and saying, well, I got to walk around in them. And then you walking up and down a few aisles.
I've got another 20 years before I'm in the shoe department.
Shoe, yeah,
yeah, the shoe thing is like old man territory.
I might jump straight there.
Pants are dad territory, right? Sure. Some of the shirts are kind of daddy, too.
You know what would be so baller? Is you're trying on the pants. You're trying them on. Just right there where all the books are and the gift cards are. There you are. Just take it off your pants and say, well, I got to see if they fit.
So I'm going to get this a little wrong, but it's mostly right. They have sizes based on color, right? So like small is purple, yellow is medium, blue is extra large, and orange is double X. I don't know that, but everything, and the whole store is color-coded like that. So you can tell very quickly the orange color for your guy here, they go fast. So the next time you go through there, you ain't see anything with that orange double X tag, just maybe shoot me a pic. This way I got to bring your phone. So you can take a picture and send it to me. Trav, they got dad jeans in the orange. What do you think? You want me to grab you a pair?
I didn't bring my phone to work today.
Like, I'm not super, like, I don't check Mondays, social Wednesday, media all day.
Monday, Wednesday, and Friday,
that's,
I don't bring my phones.
That's
actually, okay, let me add another piece of this. Since the Lakers season ended, Twitter, Instagram, off my phone.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
I would think people think that's a little...
Again, you're going to miss a Woj bomb.
I've been
100% serious here. Yeah. Like, I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about my wife needs me, my kids need me, my parents need me. Like, in an emergency where, hey, I need you... to help me right now.
But that's not a grocery store thing. That means anywhere you go, sure. Your phone's with you.
Yeah. I mean, no, I have times. Going I definitely into the shower.
I definitely have times where the phone's not coming.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope that Rookie knows his way home when you slip off the trail.
All right, I got to
tell
you.
And you're stuck down by the trees.
I know we got to go to break.
I got to tell you about a hike yesterday I took with Rook. It was a little interesting. Let's do that when we come back. Stay right here. The Travis and Sliwa Show, 710 ESPN.